Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, folks. Welcome to the Midnight Garden. I'm not going to go very far with that accent. Just because it's so bad, not because I'm not implying anything about the people who would speak with that accent, especially since I've done it so badly that it probably doesn't actually exist. But thank you for coming to the Midnight Garden tonight. I am your host, Munto Sasquatch, and I haven't even thought about what we're sitting between tonight. How about join me here between the cola nut and the un-cola nut. How about that? Remember that old commercial with David Carradine as Kung Fu? And at the beginning of it, they gave him a choice between the cola nut and the un-cola nut. And the un-cola nut is a lemon, and he chooses that. And he talks, and then he comes back the adult. David Carradine talks about his decision. It was all an ad for 7-Up. And the un-cola nut. And the cola nut, which is a thought, I think this is actually a thing. The cola comes from nuts, if I'm not mistaken. I should know. I should have some here in the Midnight Garden, shouldn't I? Especially since I drink so doggone much of it. Thanks for stopping by. I'm a bit bleary-eyed tonight, as usual, but for a different reason. I've been driving. I went down to another city in my big state here in the Midwest. So it may or may not have been Cincinnati. And went to a drum circle down there, which was quite a bit of fun. They have a nice spot down there called, Mount Storms, maybe? Mount Stormy or something like that. Anyway, not really so much of a mountain as a big hill, but it overlooks the city, and they have a spectacular view. This place, little stone shelter for events and such, and then looks out upon this just magnificent view, this panorama of the city. And at twilight, with the buildings all lit up, it was quite impressive. I think that urbanity, if that's a word, and architecture and man-made structures, which so often have the effect of defacing the natural landscape. I think for that reason it kind of gets a bad name, but in fact, architecture, when well done, or when viewed from a distance, it can be really quite beautiful. I know there's a couple of views of my own city here that I enjoy cultivating. I enjoy driving out someplace and finding a place where I can pull off the road and just look at the buildings and the gorgeous lights, and putting aside for a moment the materials that were used, and thinking instead of the artistry that went into making the buildings and the labor that went into making them, and the use that people have gotten out of them. I think it's good that we consider those things. We consider the good with the bad, and not just look at a city and say, gosh, that's awful. So I spent some time out there today, and I was saying, I was thinking, I drove down there after working at my college this afternoon, and haven't been down to Cincinnati for a while. I know in general, I mean, you take the interstate down there, but once you get into the city, I don't know my way around so well, as my friend Twyla and I found out one day when we went down there for a tour. They're one of these things where you put the CD in your CD player that then takes you on a tour of the city. You drive around and drive past the football stadium and the art museum and whatnot. Well, we got horribly lost, and Cincinnati probably not a place we remember fondly, but I had been down there. I lived down that way for a number of years, and so I've been there and I know the major arteries. But beyond that, I'm highly dependent on my GPS, which was problematic because as I've stated numerous times before, the sound on my phone isn't working, not for all of my applications anyway, and GPS is one of them, where it doesn't work. So it's actually rather dangerous. And then the streets where I don't know where I'm going, and I'm watching the GPS for where the turns are, which means I'm taking my eyes off the road, and it's rush hour by the time I got down there. So it was a bit harrowing in spots, but GPS in the end did come through for me, did get me there. I was wondering, because I was in this very sort of, I won't say seedy, but the place where I live is seedy. It wasn't anything like that. It was just a sort of well-used, gritty kind of part of town. And I'm thinking, I don't see anything here resembling a park. But I took a couple of turns, and there I was. And went by a little memorial and a couple of other things all the way to the back of the park. And there was the parking lot and the building that had been pictured in the Facebook ad. So I knew I was in the right place, although I was the first one there, as usual. And as I said, I discovered this magnificent view of the city, which got more and more magnificent as it got darker. My hosts, Corinna and Troy, very gracious as always, are two wonderful, amazing people, positive about everything, never a bad thing to say about anybody, welcomed me. We're very pleased to see I'd made the trip down from Columbus. They make the trip up to Columbus for a lot of these events, but I don't think a lot of the northern tribe makes their way down their way all that often. I guess the dividing point would probably be Ash Cave, which is an amazing geological formation. It's like the whole side of a big, I don't know if you call it a mountain, but a big old piece of granite anyway, with a waterfall to boot. It's a nice spot for the new four drummings there a year, and that's sort of middle ground, a meeting point, kind of like Youngstown used to be for the Cleveland mob and the Pittsburgh mob. Ash Cave is like that for the Northern Tribe and the Southern Tribe when we get together. But some of our Southern living friends do make the pilgrimage up to Columbus from time to time. I don't think that is returned. I don't think a lot of people do. So I did do it today because it did fit in my schedule. I've been meaning to do it for a long time. Very glad I did. Terrific people, young people involved. I mean, kids involved doing the drumming and the hula hooping. I guess it's just hooping when you do it that way. It's not hula hooping. And I had a little girl went out that could not have been more than 2 years old. And kind of toddling around, the way they do. And they put her out there and put a hula hoop around her, and man, she was a champion. She was amazing. She's a lot better than I could have ever been without hula hoop. So the positive energy I needed is to fill up the batteries. The Mudjo batteries went out there to get a charge of positive energy, and I did get it. I've been feeling over the past few weeks, and this has probably been reflected in the shows, what I've said in the shows, I've been feeling rather like those kids on that Nickelodeon show. What was it called? The game show. And if you gave the wrong answer, they would dump slime on you. It's this green, or there's different colors, actually. I think green was the most popular. But it came, I think there was a nice magenta color and some other things that you could get slimed with. They just dump this gooey stuff on top of you. It's just a kid's show, and they like dump gooey stuff. But I kind of felt like that. I kind of felt like I had that slime kind of sticking on me, and I couldn't get rid of it. And it was dragging me down, and I couldn't truly appreciate the good that was going on, the good reflected in the things that I was doing or trying to do. So I thought this would be a good way to reverse that, at least for a while. So we'll see what happens. I'm right now, I just finished the second day of a 7-day stretch of working every day. And it's not that the work is that strenuous, it's just the idea I have to go to work. And neither is it that I've been doing, I've been particularly productive with the days I haven't been working lately, because I haven't. Lots of stuff not getting done. Let me give you an example. I don't know if you can hear this. Probably not. But here, I'll stop talking for 2 seconds. There, I don't know if you heard it or not. There's water or something going through a pipe or something in the space between the walls of this apartment and the next one. Now, there's nothing leaking, and you know, I've been thoroughly checked in it. Well, I can't tell you thoroughly check a 62-square-foot apartment. There was, you know, I don't have any of my faucets are on, and there's no, you know, water coming from the ceiling or dripping out from anywhere. This has actually been going on for I think like 3 days now, and I know I should call maintenance, and I keep hoping my neighbor or someone else will do it. I just don't. I mean, our maintenance people, bless their hearts, they do a great job, but they kind of make you feel like, they find it always make you feel bad for calling them because they're so busy, you know, and they want to, okay. And I really don't want to deal with that, but at the same time, I don't want to, you know, peek down in my basement and see that, you know, that it's under 10 feet of water or anything. You know, one would think something like that would have happened by now if it's going to happen. And now I've run it through Friday, which means I can't, unless it's an emergency, and it's not an emergency. I can't see how you can construe it as an emergency. I mean, I don't smell any gas, and I don't see any water. How can I say, you know, it's an emergency? They're not going to come out till Monday anyway. But I really can't call on Monday because this way I start working. I have 3 days, our first big event at OSU, where I work. I've said before, I work with medical students. I memorize a scenario, and they question me, and they've got to figure out what's the matter with me. And part of their training, you know, before they turn them loose on real people. So that's happening. It's their first big exam of the year, and that's happening on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I asked the manager of the retail store where I work to rearrange my schedule so I could do that. So I'm working Sunday. And I'm also working Wednesday after I do the OSU thing, which could be interesting. And then finally on Thursday, I'll have a day off. I'll be able to get to see the folks. Didn't get to see them. I was going to go last week because I actually had 2 days off. Well, it's not last. I guess it is technically last week now because this is Friday. I had 2 days off, but my folks had scheduled to some people to come in and replace some carpeting. And the house was a mess. And, you know, Mom couldn't cook properly, and they were a little bit nervous about it. They didn't know. I think a couple of rooms where the carpeting were putting in were bedrooms, and people were like shifted around the bedrooms, and I would have been an extra person. So I didn't go, and I had to go to the laundromat because I usually do my laundry at Mom and Dad's house. I couldn't do it. So I went to the laundromat, and I lost one of my socks that I bought at my retail store, when I was so mad because it's just like it's a variety of colors, so the one that's left I can't match with anything else. It's just it's a dead sock. I don't know what to do with it. It's sitting folded on my table, on my work table in my room. I don't know what's it going to become, some sort of, because I've got plenty of dust cloths and wash rags and that kind of stuff, so it really doesn't justify turning it into one of those. So what do we do? What do we do? I don't know. But anyway, and the other thing about doing laundry, I had forgotten, is I do laundry here so seldom. I forget about this. The laundromat that I go to, for some reason, my clothes come out smelling like Copenhagen chewing tobacco. That's the closest size I can describe the smell. And if not, I mean, the detergent I bought the detergent that I use, and I got the fabric softener there, but it was like not Downy, the one with the fuzzy bear, Snuggle. It was Snuggle, and I don't think Snuggle smells like Copenhagen. Here, I got to take a sip here. Hold on. So where that smell comes from, I don't know. Something tied up in their processing is giving that an interesting odor. And then when I put all those clothes in the closet, and then when I open up the closet, that just hits me in the face. I'm like, oh, yeah, I went to the laundromat. I remember. And you miss, I met precisely zero interesting people at the laundromat. And it's just me and like just a couple of other just workaday people. Nothing. Usually you can count on a good argument, either over the phone or in person, happening at the laundromat, or you can maybe even a fight in the parking lot if you're lucky. But just nothing. Just peaceful, happy people doing their laundry, losing their socks. So I've held out hope that the other sock mate was still here, that it had fallen out of the laundry bag or something. But I have not been able to find it. It's like I'm very careful about those things. You know, when I put my laundry into a foreign washing machine, I'm very careful, especially with the socks. They all get in, and then when I take them out, they all get into the basket. And then when I go over to the dryer, they all get into the dryer, and they all get out of the dryer. And one of those spots, I guess, I lost my concentration, or someone simply swiped one of my socks from me while I wasn't looking. They went into the dryer and took it, and that's all they touched. And he just closed the loop. You know, the dryers are down to 6 minutes per quarter. I can remember drying at 10 minutes per quarter. And now it's down to 6. And they gave the excuses a couple of years ago when they're raising the price, they're bringing down the drying time. When the price of natural gas went so high, and that was their excuse, because it takes natural gas to run the dryers, and they know, oh yeah, while this price is continues. And then the crisis was gone, but we still had the 8 cents a minute instead of 10 cents a minute. And now it's 6 cents a minute, which is just, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Price of everything just keeps going up. There's another picture. I've seen a lot of pictures. I've got my photographs or photos screensaver going. And just a series of them went by from another drum circle in the good old days, the drum circle at Garcia's restaurant. It's used to be the center of my social life. And they had a quite formidable drum circle out on the out in front of the building until the police came and made us move it. Because we were in people's way, ostensibly. But we had a couple of belly dancers show up and a lot of people, and Iggy's daughter was taking pictures of it all, and I took some of the pictures and set them to music. And I haven't been able, for some reason, I did not keep a copy of that. It's floating around, and I posted it on Facebook, so it must still be floating around on Facebook somewhere. I would love to take the time to sit down and try and find it. Because that was a clever little piece of work, I thought. I liked it. Back in my film editing days, something that might have become a career for me. I don't know. It would have been my first choice back in the day. I would have liked to have gone out of high school. I would have liked to have gone to technical school and learned some broadcasting skill or skills, running the mixing board, running a camera, editing, that sort of thing. And then find myself some local television station somewhere and just start working my way up. And my ultimate aspiration was to be the producer of the local 6 o'clock news. And then, which would be an interesting job and an important job, at least at that time it would have been. And would have afforded me opportunities like going to elementary schools and answering questions like what does a producer do and all that, and being an important and respected person, which is something I still aspire to, trying to stretch to that to make that happen. So, how do I do that? Well, I think step one was to rinse that slime off of myself. Because I think that when you talk to other people, that slime shows. I mean, they not know that it's slime, then you see it as something else. But I think people can perceive when there's something holding you back or when you're still holding yourself back. Because nobody dumps the slime on me. It's not anybody's fault but my own that happened. And I think that the people you're approaching for help, the people or for guidance, sense that that's going on with you. And I don't know if it repulses them necessarily, but I sure don't think it helps. Because it's necessary for me to progress, for me to do better than I'm doing now, and I have decided I want to do better than I'm doing now. That it's not going to be good enough. I can't, just from a practical sense, I'm not talking even now about satisfaction or anything like that. I'm talking about being able to live until I get to the magic age of 67 and I can collect Social Security. I mean, which that in and of itself has its own pitfalls, but I haven't even got. I got to get there first, and where I'm at right now, I don't think is going to cut it. I can see myself, 66 years old and chasing down sizes for people. That's probably the worst thing about my job is chasing down sizes for people. They'll come in and they'll look through the shoes and they see a shoe they like, but we don't have their size. Say, do you have this in a 7? And I hate it because we almost never have it in a 7. It does happen sometimes, particularly when we've just had a new shipment of shoes come in. We can go, maybe you go through the boxes that haven't been processed yet, and maybe you find a 7 in there. Or sometimes there's just one that didn't get put out for whatever reason. But, 90% of the time, particularly if you're talking about clearance shoes. I didn't mean for this to become, the waves and means of selling shoes. But, people find the style they want, but we don't have the size. And that usually means when we don't have the size on the rack, that usually means we don't have the size. Not always. Sometimes we can find it, but far more often than not, we don't. And you feel, especially when it happens a lot, when it's a heavy traffic day. Not something, which is what tomorrow is. Saturday is a heavy traffic day, and I'm going to be working for 8 hours. So I'm going to get asked a lot, do you have this in this size? And I'm going to be telling people no a lot. And I don't like disappointing people. It makes me feel, I wish I could do more. About the only thing I can tell them is to go on the company's website because they have all the sizes and we don't. And then I could tell them further that, the company, they're responsible for selecting what we don't get. We're not franchisees. We don't get to order stuff. Our store is owned by the national company. So they decide what to send us. And we have no control over that. But, most of the time, people take it, in stride, which helps. And they still don't feel, even when they do take it in stride, I still feel bad. But some people get rather snotty about it. And that's hard because you want, that sorts of turns it around. Now I want to answer them back. And, of course, I can't unless I want to get fired. So it's a difficult situation either way. And there's going to be 8 hours of tomorrow. Most of the days are pretty, there's not like I worked Thursday. Just not much to it. Not very many people came in the store. The main thing you deal with on weekdays is boredom. Fridays can be a little bit brisk. But Saturdays are always, from start to finish, the place is full of people. You never get to take a breath. And that seems to be the day that the assholes come out. Seems to be the customers who expect that, obviously you're going to take care of the customers. Obviously you're going to wait on us. You're going to do wait on them. Obviously you're going to do all you can to make sure you can meet their needs. But sometimes the answer is no, as I just explained. Sometimes we don't have it, and a lot of people want to sort of torment you about that, as if I could do something about it. Again, it's a company-owned store. All the decisions are theirs, and I'm just carrying out instructions. And people come in, and usually, I think the expectation is that the more hoity-toity people are going to be, the more difficult to deal with, and I have not found that to be the case. Occasionally, it's the case. All people are different, and you know, you can't say one way or the other based on their socioeconomic status. But often, I think far more often, the people who give you trouble are lower income people. I mean, not really lower income. Okay, now I want to be very careful where I tread when I start talking about this. Extremely poor people could not shop in our store. The shoes are too expensive. People, sort of workaday people, people who, you know, someone who works at the phone company 60 hours a week for 40 years, seems like those are the people who come in and give you grief. And it feels like, you know, that there's so much grief in their daily life, so many people leaning on them for things, so many people being unfair to them. They seem to think that that's what we're there for, is to provide an outlet for them, that they can come and they can't have this anywhere else, but they can come into our store and be capricious with us, because, you know, we can't do anything about that. And that's what gets disturbing sometimes. And that's what led to my little tantrum a couple of weeks ago, which is not a tantrum. I didn't say anything to the customer. I said, I can't remember whether I talked about this or not. I said something to my coworker that was probably not something I should have said. And I kind of thought I might hear about it again. I never did. But the whole thing was just, there's just a lady wanting to see. Well, I thought she had said was that she wanted to know how many size 9s were in the store. Well, I don't know how many size 9s are in the store. I wouldn't even know how to estimate that. So I just assumed that I had missed what she said and that she'd actually said something else. So I can't remember, but I think I just said something about the 9s that she was going through at the time. And she says, no, you should know how many size 9s are in the store. And I just immediately saw red. And I had to walk off the floor and talk to my coworker. I was like, I don't know how, I mean, all she had been was rude to me, nothing more than that. It's the perils of retail, I guess. And my 30 minutes are nearly up. I want to thank you for listening today. We'll hopefully have some more. I think the show was mainly positive today, mostly positive. And I think I can keep it that way probably next week, and depending on what happens and all these days of work, it should keep me out of trouble. Thank you once again for listening, and I do hope you have a pleasant good evening.